Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We are back, depending on your point of view, with the Paracast. Our guest this week is Brent Rains, who makes another appearance on the show. Our co-host, of course, is Tim Swartz. And Brent has some interesting books out, such as Visitors from Hidden Realms, On the Edge of Reality, and John A. Keel, The Man and the Myths and the Ongoing Mysteries. But Brent, welcome back to the Paracast, and I wanted to bring up that book again, because we talk about John Keel so often on the show, and that is, what was the myth?
Gene, it's, you know, sometimes there's a little truth in the myth, and then sometimes it just leads us astray, but there's some things that, you know, in all things and all research that has to be kind of cleared up sometimes. With some of what I'd found in my book with what Keel had written, there was some things that did need to be cleared up. And he actually, when I corresponded with him back in the early days, he tried to clear up, for example, some of the mistakes that appeared in his Operation Trojan Horse and Strange Creatures in Time and Space that first appeared in 1970. And he said that he was given a galley to correct errors. He submitted his response, but the publisher didn't respond. They still used the way it was without his corrections. Of course, he found out later that some of the information he has wasn't exactly right. And of course, we know that when he was in West Virginia and he made the statement back in 67 that he was sky watching on a hilltop and the moon did not appear until, you know, as it was supposed to, but it turned out that whatever information he got from some newspaper was inaccurate. So in my book, I give the link to where you can actually check and see that Keel was wrong on that aspect. And of course, there was the college student in Virginia who, claimed he had also had experiences with that were related to the beings that Woodrow Derenberger out of West Virginia had, you know, experienced. And turned out that guy was really just telling a tall tale. He was studying to be a psychologist and also was interested in science fiction. And so he wove a good tale and Keel bit it at the time. And the question is the mysterious phone calls that quite a number of people attribute some of that stuff to the shenanigans of Jim Moseley and Gray Barker, especially after they had a few drinks. So anyway, but beyond that, you know, I was quite intrigued by his thought process, the idea that there were other elements, that the big picture involved more than just what a lot of the mainstream ufology was examining. There was elements besides physics of consciousness and you know, also the parapsychology, and I think it's a lot of that's all interwoven. So I certainly felt that, and of course, not just him. Jacques Vallée came out with a lot of very similar ideas. So anyway,
that kind of covers it. With John Keel, it's interesting his experience with his book publisher, where he submits the corrections to the publisher. And the publisher ignores them. I had that problem when I was doing those quickie computer books, you know, how to use your iMac and things like that. They would send me suggested corrections. I would take the manuscript and fix it. And half the time, the corrections were never included in the book. And, of course, I'm blamed for them because my name's on the book.
Yeah, yeah. He felt he was unfairly, you know, blame for a lot of that. He also mentioned to me that the book that actually introduced me to the UFO field was Frank Edwards' Flying Saucers Serious Business. And Keel informed me that that was actually written in 6 weeks' time. a real marathon thing, and of course there were probably going to be some errors and being that rushed for it, but they wanted, because of all the activity that was going on at that time, to rush the book out for the best sales that they could acquire. And he also sent me a newspaper clipping one time. I don't know where it is now, but it was filled with errors and didn't hardly make any sense. He wanted to show me how, he had submitted a story to a newspaper and how they had mutilated it.
Well, I think that's something that that all of us who are investigators and writers run into. I mean, I always note in my books that, this is the best information that I have at the moment, but things can change, and I'll always let you know in next installments, if the information that I'm, presenting is not entirely accurate. Unfortunately for people like Keel, that, may not have had the opportunity to update his books, especially the quickie paperbacks, then that legacy lives on. I mean, here we are years later, and we're still talking about it.
Well, the thing about John Keel is he has no impact in the modern world of UFO research, except for the fact that people have moved in a direction that he first, or was one of the first to set up. So it's interesting that we still talk about him, but they still talk about George Adamski. And he was exposed 50 years ago.
Yeah. I can't say there wasn't something to it, and he, to his experiences at some point, but that he used it to launch all sorts of other stories. He became a storyteller. And I've been talking with Peter Jordan recently, who was very involved for years. We haven't heard much from him, lately, but he was, along with Dr. Berthold Schwartz, the New Jersey psychiatrist, he also worked with Dr. Schwartz and interviewed a lot of people who were involved in the Menger situation. He got to talk with Howard Menger, and he found that Howard Menger did color a lot of his stories, and but there was a core group of people who often went to his farm that had he interviewed them again and again, and they seemed to be pretty solid in his view. And at one point, they told him that, "Have you had any experiences?" And he said, "No." And they said, "Well, now that you're with us talking about these things, you just, kind of wait and see." And later he did have an experience early one morning where this, just after he had been reading Travis Walton's book that had just come out, and he was really thinking about that beam of light that hit Travis and how frightening that must have been. That was truly real. And that next morning, there was a beam of light that came through his house. And it was very, very surprising. He's still talking about all these years later. And
before we go on, Howard Menger is an interesting story. Let me tell you my Howard Menger story. It takes place in 1965. I was working for Jim Moseley, believe it or else, at Susser News at 303 Fifth Avenue in Manhattan. And he got a call from Howard Menger, who wanted to meet him, so we met him up at the diner across the street. And Menger said at that point, and he also had said this on the Long John Neville short-lived TV show, that he thought maybe he was the victim or the subject of a government experiment, that the people he met were government agents, not Venusians or Saturnians or anything like that. He adopted that position for quite a while before he kind of went back to the original one, that E.T. was here and he met up with them. So that is an interesting thing about it, the way he reversed things. And because he reversed things, he became very friendly with Moseley, who, of course, was somebody who never believed in any of the contactees. I never figured out Menger, and I kind of wish I had time to talk to him myself rather than just sit there with my lunch plate in front of me having my lunch. We've got Brent and Gene and Tim. What this means is you're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners, I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices start at just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Honestly, this stuff works. Nick, easy to take capsules. For those who can't handle the liquid drops, easy to take Extendivite capsules do the same job. Karoka Fam, works great. Like Extendivite very much. Seems to work as advertised. Thanks. Arlene, 5 stars. Love this product, Extendivite. Terry W., 5 stars. Can't say enough. Great product. Freya, 5 stars. I just ordered another. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news at theparacast.com. That's news at theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Brent Rains joins us. We're talking about John Keel, but then in the course of the conversation mentioning contactees, he mentioned Howard Menger. So, Brent, what do you think about my little story?
Well, it's interesting. I talked with, Peter Jordan about the something he had mentioned to me, and we recently discussed it again on a YouTube interview we did together. that's actually on my website. I've got 4 interviews I've done with him so far. And I asked him about the story of Ivan Sanderson walking into a room at Menger's home and seeing some sort of items that apparently had something like U.S. Army written on them. And according to the story, Menger found him in the room and told him he wasn't supposed to be there and seemed quite upset that he said, don't ever come back in here again.
Ivan Sanderson was also an interesting character.
Oh, yes. Yeah, he was into the UFOs, the Bigfoot, and, of course, a respected zoologist, and, of course, good friends with John Keel. In fact, in the beginning, they were going to write a book together back when he came, you know, but instead Keel ended up taking the project on his own and writing Operation Trojan Horse.
Now, with, of course, Sanderson, he died in the 60s, I believe. And among his opinions were that some UFOs, at least, were living beings, kind of like Trevor James Constable had said in a book he wrote called They Live in the Sky. So that's one theory he came up with. He also told an interesting story about the death of a UFO researcher writer, Morris K. Jessup, M.K. Jessup, who supposedly offed himself with carbon monoxide poisoning in his car in Dade County in Florida. And Sanderson was suggesting there was no reason for this guy to off himself, and this became one of those mysterious deaths in the UFO field. Of course, Jessup indirectly was responsible for the Philadelphia experiment legend.
Right. That's a difficult one. I mean, it had all the appearance of being a suicide, and I know that a lot of people have included that in their articles. Like I remember Otto Binder in Saga's UFO Report writing an article of liquidation of ufologists, and that was a very prominent one there, where you know, he hooked up a hose, I guess, to the tailpipe of his car. It was in the garage and just offed himself that way.
We should mention a little bit about Otto Binder, who he was, because he's also kind of a legend in the sci-fi field. In the early days, he was writing material for Ray Palmer. He wrote continuity for comic books such as Shazam. When he was called Captain Marvel, he wrote the early continuity. He worked for DC Comics and created Supergirl and the Legion of Superheroes, and he also wrote about UFOs, and he also wrote about science. He was the editor of a magazine, I think, called Space World. As a matter of fact, that Ray Palmer took over and just ran press releases on it. But Otto got very interested in UFOs, as you noticed, and he came up one time or two times that I talked to him suggesting that Ray Palmer, you know, obviously involved in the Shaver Mystery, co-founder of Fate Magazine, editor of Flying Saucers and Search Magazines, that when he came up with stuff about hollow earths and things like that, he was doing it not because he believed in the theories, but people would write to him. It would generate reader interest. So that's it about Otto Binder.
Yeah, he wrote a real good book at the time on UFOs, discussing different kind of cases on UFOs. I still have it on my bookshelf in the other room. And yeah, I think he wrote like things on Superman, didn't he? Or
well, as I said, he wrote for DC Comics. I don't know if he did Superman, but obviously he was responsible for Supergirl. In fact, in the pilot for the Supergirl TV series, they mention an Otto Binder bridge that Supergirl flies over during her first public appearance. And that, of course, would mean nothing. It's an Easter egg, unless you knew who created Supergirl.
Ah, yeah. And I remember seeing a picture of one of his daughters dressed as Supergirl. I think he was trying to promote his book with her picture. But anyway, that's interesting.
Otto wrote a really early book about the ancient astronaut theories. I mean, I think he came out with it even before Eric von Däniken. And it was one of my first exposures to that that whole concept.
Well, lots of people came out before Erich von Däniken.
Oh, yeah.
Renzi, Laporte Trench, a guy named Yona Fortner, writing as Yona Ibn Aharon for Jim Moseley's Saucer News. I think Desmond Leslie touched on it. He was the co-author of the original Adamski book, Flying Saucers Have Landed. And it's a theory that goes back years and years. But von Däniken found a way to get the public interested. And that way he was a good salesperson.
Well, the book that Otto wrote, rather than going into, you know, like petroglyphs and giant stone monuments, he went more for the anthropology aspect of it, the differences between the human species as opposed to other animals on the planet.
Your turn, Brent.
Well, even Emanuel Swedenborg over there in Sweden back centuries ago claimed contact with Venusians and other beings from other places within our solar system. He was one of the earliest contactees, perhaps, and he was a highly respected man of science as well, and went on a number of years, and he claimed that he was approached by very human-type beings, and they took him on trips to other planets. And so he was someone I think that probably contributed to the ancient astronaut theory some too. It's man, of course, Keel talked about how some of our characters in the Bible, like Ezekiel and so on, some of that sounds kind of like contactees.
What influenced you to write your book about Keel originally? I mean, I've got a copy of it here, and rereading it for today's show, and I mean, you know, it's just really a fascinating, fascinating, well done book.
Oh, thank you. I started out with the mainstream nuts and bolts approach in at age 14, first month in 67, after reading Frank Udde's Flying Saucers, Serious Business. And then, so I just got really obsessed with the subject. Can't say I'm not still obsessed.
Before we get too obsessed, you might become obsessed with these announcements with Gene and Brent and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences, too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA Radio News.
Charges have been dismissed against former Michigan Governor Rick Snyder in relation to the Flint water crisis. He's the eighth person to have a case thrown out in the scandal after a unanimous opinion from the state Supreme Court over the summer ruling a one-person indictment is not proper. Carrie Lake challenging her defeat in the Arizona gubernatorial election from last month. The Republican lost by less than a percent to Katie Hobbs, the state's Democratic Secretary of State. The vote count between the two candidates was outside the margin needed to trigger an automatic recount. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky says Kremlin forces have turned the city of Bakhmut in the eastern part of his country into ruins. Russian President Vladimir Putin focusing on the four Ukrainian provinces that he has claimed to have annexed into the Russian Federation. Twitter is being sued for not paying for private flights for one of their executives. The case is in federal district court. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
I had no idea it would destroy my life. But before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We interrupted you, Brent, in the middle of a conversation, which is what we do to people sometimes. Would you pick up on that?
Sure. So anyway, I was reading some of the articles, you know, that John Keel was writing. That really kind of stood out because he was connecting some things and creating connecting some areas of research investigation that he claimed to be involved in that were more than just what the mainstream of ufology was pursuing. And of course, you know, some of the researchers at the time, like the National Investigations Committee on Aerial Phenomena that out of Washington, D.C., that was formed in 1957, they just dealt with the physical objects. Major Donald Kehoe, retired major, he was not interested in the contactee aspects at all. If a UFO landed, a being got out, that was it, you know. Discard that case, so that wasn't even pursued. Of course, he was totally, you know, the whole contactee thing. He wrote a lot, I think, against George Adamski. And, you know, he just wanted to have a congressional hearing and have a serious discussion on the UFO phenomena. So it was quite neglected by the Air Force and NICAP. But I was writing a lot of people, phone calls and stuff, and I formed my own little group up in the state of Maine, SINAP, the Scientific Investigation Network on Aerial Phenomena. I was a very busy teenager trying to figure it out. And then in 1969, I ended up being on the board of directors of Saucer Scoop magazine out of St. Petersburg, Florida. And that magazine came out monthly, and I contributed some features, and Brad Steiger was the public relations director, Joanne Whitmore, was the editor, and she and Brad were actually writing books and articles together, as I know you know. And I started seeing more and more of John Keel, and he had his address that you could write to him, a P.O. box in New York City. So I started writing to him, and pretty soon I was exchanging my little online magazine, Scientific Saucitis Review, which was a little mimeograph publication with his anomaly, and we engaged in quite a bit of correspondence, and I got very interested in his alternative approach to the ultra-terrestrials in comparison to the elementals, and bringing in the psychic aspect. And I even wrote to him in 1971 asking him, you know, how I could pursue these areas myself in field work. I was very interested in getting out there and checking things out myself, so I did do that. I went through quite a number of states and even up into Canada and spent practically the whole summer of 1975 on the road between Maine and Florida. And anyway, I also became good friends with Dr. Berthold Schwartz. We corresponded extensively, and I've even got a chapter in his book, UFO Dynamics, on a case that I brought him up to Maine on to check out. So, John Keel had a lot of influence. So I decided, a few years ago that I thought it would be kind of interesting to interview others who had known Keel and been influenced by his work and been out there in the field to, interview them and get their thoughts and stories and look at some of the ongoing matters that, of course, Keel had passed away in 2009, and just kind of bring kind of up to date. I'm even thinking of doing a volume 2. That's just kind of occurred to me recently on this. And, there's things that after you write a book that come up afterwards and you say, oh, well, I should have included that. So I think enough has come up since then that it would be time for perhaps a second volume.
Oh, I'd definitely read that.
All right. Well, I got one reader.
It's interesting, though. I mean, you're talking about the possible psychic aspect to the UFO phenomena, and going back to our conversation we were having earlier about the contactees and Howard Menger, you were saying that there were a group of people around him that experienced odd things, despite the fact that Howard probably, as you said, kind of colored his own experiences a bit. But you see this a lot, don't you, with other cases? And so, some of the early contactee cases, maybe not so much George Damski, but, some of the others where the people around have their own odd experiences that are, I don't know if the word outside would be the correct term, but almost their own versions of what allegedly was going on with the contactee.
Yeah, even with George Adamski, you have Rex and Ray Stanford. One was Alex. He was a parapsychologist, and Ray was a very serious UFO investigator. And early on, back in the 50s, they were young men, and they had a sighting of their own. Later, they realized that George Adamski was really not who they thought he was in the beginning. But nonetheless, at the time, they were experiencers too. And sometimes you wonder if maybe some of this stuff is like a topoid phenomenon, or it's a projection, a psychic projection of some kind or something. You come across some really oddball stuff. Somebody that I had a brief contact with back in August 1971 was, you know, the Ted Owens, you know, Space Intelligences. And he wrote to me, and he sounded really braggadocious, and I think this is what turned a lot of people off. But I've spoken with Jeffrey Mishlove, who's you know, a clinical psychologist, does the New Thinking Aloud. And early on, he started collecting all this testimony of people who said that he did the most amazing things. And there was, he got, you know, information from a number of researchers, too, including Tim Beckley and Dr. Brothel Schwartz. And even Dr. Hynek studied him for a while. But, you know, it was so many strange, far-out aspects to it that even Dr. Hynek said he wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole. Because he's afraid it would ruin his reputation. But anyway, Jeff Mishlove collected, I think, almost 100 testimonies from different people that claimed that they had seen UFOs or they'd been out with him. And he would say, "I'm going to cause a lightning bolt to, you know, strike that church over there." And that was the only place where a lightning struck, you know, and things like that. So, of course, I was kind of... When he wrote back to me in 71, I was kind of put off because he said he didn't have time to really answer all his emails. And he said he appreciated my writing him, but there was nothing he could do. He was working with government people and scientists. And, you know, and then he bragged about how he was part of Apache and he was the best knife thrower in the world. And I thought, wow, how do you know you're the best knife thrower in the world?
Okay, we'll get into more of this with Brent, Jean, and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at rockoids.com. That's rockoids, rockoids.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Hey y'all, Jeff Foxworthy here. Now if you've ever found yourself repeating the same thing over and over for 75 years, you might be Smokey Bear.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
That's why I'm filling in for Smokey to switch things up, because there's a lot more to say. And I should know because my grandfather was a firefighter. And one of the things he taught me is that the people that love the outdoors the most are often the ones accidentally starting wildfires, which means always BYOB. No, bring your own bucket to the campfire. And be extra careful with things like burning yard trimmings. Don't just walk away, or chances are, you might be starting a wildfire. So for the love of the outdoors, go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
Do you find, Brent, that particular groups of people, certain background, racial, certain backgrounds in terms of personal history, possibly see UFOs or experience weird stuff more than others?
Well, you definitely have to look at, I remember Berthold Schwartz saying to me, how can you study UFOs and not be aware of the psychic elements? And you have to look at the psychology and any reports of, you know, anomalous experiences, be they UFOs, psychic, and a lot of times they seem like people who have these UFO sightings, close encounters or contacts, they start reporting all these other elements too, poltergeist activity or some kind of cryptid type phenomena or these ghostly type beings. There just seems to be a whole higher number of elevation of reports. Native Americans have interested me a lot. I mean, early on, I visited a Native American medicine man in Pennsylvania of Sequanahawk ancestry, and I had been introduced to him by a contactee up in Ohio who I'd been investigating, and she told me that she had witnessed things with him. So I paid him a couple of visits and corresponded with him quite extensively. John Keel certainly recommended that a person could reach out to someone on a Indian reservation and, you know, gain someone they trust. Native Americans had a lot of different experiences along those lines. This, however, was a man who was living among the white people. He was an urban Indian, but he was he and his wife, both Native American, welcomed me to their home, and my wife and I, we visited him, and at one of those visits, we were together, and we had lunch with him, and then afterwards, we went to his living room, and he said we were going to have a powwow. Now, he had said that he did not do drugs or anything, but he used some strong native tobacco, and of course, we were both pretty tired from our long journey from Tennessee. We were headed up to Maine, stopped in Pennsylvania, and so anyway, he's smoking his pipe. I kind of closed my eyes, and I felt myself really drifting. I didn't know what was going to happen. My wife, Joan, she told me afterwards that the smoke started filling the room. It would go out horizontally and then collapse back to the center, and then it would go out vertically, both directions up and down, and then collapse back in the center, then it would go out horizontally again and then come back and collapse. And it did this a number of times. And she, you know, thought, wow. And then said suddenly it was like there was a tunnel in the middle, and it just, he was in that tunnel looking at her. And then she said the spell was broken. And we went back to Ohio later, and we were talking with the contact. He was also part Native American, and she said, oh, yes, he passed something on to you, whatever that means. And it's something about their balanced way. And, you know, in study of Native American beliefs, it's the whole belief in the four directions and in the center, where everything connects. And so I've kind of interpreted it that way. But anyway, first time I actually visited him, a ring flew off his finger, which he said was made for him by a Mohawk woman. And he told me it would be a powerful spirit that did that, and I kept writing him, as you know, figuring he'd tell me there was some message, but he said he never got a message. So he didn't know what that was about. But, yeah, he claimed that there were these giant beings called the Yudushkwar, which were part of the culture of his people, and that they came down in we'd call it a flying saucer. He called it a flying canoe. Landed in his backyard, and they came out, and they had to bend down in order to come in the door because they were going to bump their heads on the top of the door because they were much taller than we are. And they gave him a message with the Creator's voice and said that there was like a beam of light coming out of the body, but it only went out so far and stopped. So anyway, I've since been involved in Native ceremonies and things, sweat lodges. We used to have one behind our house. And my wife is of Cherokee ancestry, part Cherokee. She's, in fact, we found out from some ancestry research that she's related to going quite a few generations back to Kono Soto, who was a beloved man of the Cherokee over in eastern Tennessee. And we've since visited his grave. And while we were there, I did a brief recording. And we don't know where it came from, but there was a like an Indian voice on there. And I sent it to an archaeologist over in North Carolina who's, you know, kind of sympathetic to this. And she sent me a recording of a Cherokee saying the word wolf in Cherokee, and it sounds very similar. And his mother was of the wolf clan. So, hey, you know,
that's one of the interesting aspects of your John Keel book is your EVP sessions, where you seem to get responses from something that sounded like Keel.
Yeah, you know, Keel himself was always skeptical of those. He felt that they were, he said these beings could be mimics and they could pretend to be various identities. But I was involved with a guy who was a paranormal investigator, and then later I discovered he was actually a abductee himself, Brett Oldham, who has since written two books about his experiences. And we started doing some work with the so-called ghost or spirit box. And, it's, you know, it's an AM/FM radio that you put on a continuous scan. And the idea is that in between the radio programs, you'll sometimes get messages. They'll talk through the white noise. So, you know, I had worked with trying to do EVPs years before, and generally I was the debunker more than I was any, you know, saying, hey, there's something to this. I would say, oh, well, I listened to the tape. Well, that's someone over in the next room who's talking. We're just picking up a little bit of that. It's surprising what you can pick up on recorders. But in this instance, we were picking up some interesting things, including John Keel a number of times. And I had secretly, the first time, I was wanting to, you know, I didn't tell anybody, but I wanted to hear from John Keel. He had just passed. And then on July 3rd of 2010, which was the one-year anniversary of Keel's passing, I asked him when we were together with Brett Oldham and Sandy Nichols, who also says he's an alien abductee and has ghosts and such around his house. And we were at his house, which some people call the Paranormal Palace, in Thompson Station, just south of Nashville. And so we were, we were asking. I said, if you don't care, I want to ask some questions of John Keel. And Brett and Sandy and the others that were there were all for it. So we set up, I think we had three tape recorders going, and we had a loudspeaker, stereo speakers. And that night, I knew something was up because we heard John Keel and we heard, Bigfoot, because we asked about, what can you tell us about Bigfoot? We got Bigfoot. And I asked about, different things that I thought Keel, they really didn't know that much about Keel, but I was trying to elicit various responses that, might be something Keel would identify with. One of them was I asked about Jadu, which, of course, is a book he wrote in 1957 about his time over in the East, going from Egypt over to Singapore, where he spent months going through these different villages, and he was up in, Tibetan places. And claimed that he, was seeing evidence possibly of Yeti and also some psychic things. But a lot of things he was able to identify because he was an amateur magician as just tricks of the trade.
And we'll have these tricks with Gene and Brant and Tim. You're in
the Pentecost.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll-free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.